Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, I give you my exclusive review of Tiger King. How should you interact with the stock market, if at all? We talk about China, we talk about religion, and we talk about so much more. And also, what would a second term of Donald Trump look like? And finally, why are our politicians not representing the interests of the future of America and the students of America? Email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Before we get started, take out your phone, open that podcast app. Good. Type in the Charlie Kirk Show and hit that subscribe button. If everyone listening to this did that right now, we would surge in the charts and Joe Biden would be so confused, more confused than he already is. We are answering questions that you guys emailed us at freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you for doing that. Buckle up, everyone. Great episode. A historic episode. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Charlie, I've been sort of blown away lately with how much you know about economics. I had no idea. So, Charlie, perhaps you know about this as well. What stock market advice do you have for a young investor? And that's Bryson from Seattle.
Well, there are some really good deals right now in the stock market. I have won big on the stock market, and I've also lost. I encourage everyone to get involved in the market in some way, even if it's only $100. Don't buy penny stocks, but buy a stock and monitor it and be invested in the market. Here's the best advice that I have is patience. The market goes up, it goes down. Buy companies you would buy regardless of what's going on externally. Companies that produce value with good leadership, good balance sheets, that have vision, that will continue to produce good products. It's very tempting to want to buy stocks based on upward and downward curves. It is more sustainable to buy individual companies that you believe in and also ones that you use. Ones that you as a millennial use are likely going to be very valuable companies for generations to come. Imagine if 10 years ago, if you put $10,000 into Apple, that investment would have been multiplied by, I think we can get the exact number, but it's probably been three or four times over. If you would have put $10,000 into JP Morgan Chase, which I'm sure a lot of you listening to this use Chase, your investment would have gone up by 500% since 2008. These are just some examples of big companies that do a great job. And of course, the worst thing you can do, if you guys own stocks and you're down, do not sell. Do not sell. Unless you desperately need the liquidity, the loss, you can never actually try to find bottom. And my advice is to wait it out, be patient. And we talk about that a lot on the Charlie Kirk Show. And you guys will be winners.
Hey, Charlie. I know you mentioned Tiger King last episode, and you weren't done watching it yet. Did you finish? If so, what were your thoughts? And that's Evie from Michigan.
So I have finished watching the 7 episodes of Tiger King, the dramatic saga of Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. So having finished it, I have one word that can summarize Tiger King of how you should feel. Thankful. You should feel very thankful if you've watched Tiger King. You got a guy with no legs, a woman who had her arm chopped off by either a lion or a tiger. The protagonist wasn't even around to finish the series because he was in jail. The protagonist's one of his former husbands accidentally committed suicide in front of another employee. The other husband, that's right, he was in a tri-polygamous relationship. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it yet, I guess I'm spoiling it for you, but I'm not too worried about that. The other husband that he was married with left him for a woman and decided he was no longer gay and was interviewed the entire time without a shirt on and nothing but tattoos covering every square inch of his entire body while he has only 2 teeth. The tattoo that used to say the name of his former husband was tattooed over in a very uncomfortable position on his body. The antagonist probably murdered her husband. Let's just put it that way. And reminds me of a cackling 2014 Hillary Clinton. She's married to someone who seems so determined to make sure that Carol Baskin is very happy, bizarrely. The other guy that has his act together, like the most sophisticated guy, is also leading a quasi-polygamist cult in either South or North Carolina and was just investigated by the feds. The hero, if you will, I guess, Jeff Lowe, was bragging about how he was going to sleep with the nanny next to his pregnant wife while he probably originally arranged a murder for hire for the antagonist, Carol Baskin, in Florida, and his right-hand henchman probably went to go murder Carol Baskin and didn't actually fulfill it. And then there was the strip club owner that wiretapped both of them and actually set it all up. Just be thankful. Now, if your life is that screwed up, I hope I can give you guidance on the Charlie Kirk Show to get back to True North. But I watched this saga, and so I thought I had things pretty tough. And then I started to watch Tiger King, and I realized to myself, I'm not under serious accusations for murdering someone. I'm not currently in prison for trying to murder someone. Have no bearing of witnessing a former spouse killing themselves. You have a lot to be thankful for. It is a very bizarre film that has a picture into a world that I never knew existed, which is the semi-fringe world of big cat breeding and the people that are interested in it and trying to stop it, who are equally as disturbed and as troubled. So I can see why this film, by the way, I thought it was very well produced, very well edited. Obviously, they spent a tremendous amount of time around these people. And I can't help but just feel thankful that my life is not that. Whatever problems you're facing, just watch that and then look around and say, I'm doing pretty well. So that is Charlie Kirk's exclusive summary of The Tiger King. And yes, I do believe Carol Baskin murdered her husband. Again, her husband wasn't necessarily a good guy, but the explanations of where he went just do not add up. And the way she talks about it, it's so, just sends a chill up your spine. I think that's episode 3. And some people are saying online, should we pardon Joe Exotic? No, we should not pardon Joe Exotic, okay? He probably went to go hire somebody to go murder Carol Baskin. And let's just say there was some other inexcusable behavior throughout the film that does not exactly, let's say, develop sympathy on my behalf towards him. So anyway, that's my review of Tiger King. Be grateful, everybody, and be thankful. Next question.
Charlie, will we ever see baseball come back? If so, when? And do you think they'll start without fans in the stands? Also, what is your favorite team? And that's Jared from St. Louis.
So my favorite teams, plural, I'm violating one of the Ten Commandments of being a Chicagoan. I like both the Cubs and the White Sox. If I had to choose one, I would choose the Cubs over the White Sox, but I'll tell you why I like them both. I grew up being a Cubs fan, and the Chicago White Sox had the most exceptional baseball season in the history of baseball in 2005. The 2005 White Sox, with Paul Konerko, Tahito Iguchi, Juan Uribe, Joe Creedy, Mark Burley, Jose Contreras, Jermaine Dye. It was the most amazing team ever assembled. They only lost one postseason game. No, the only team in postseason history to have, I think, 5 starters complete games one after the other. John Garland was also on that team. It was incredible. It was the most insane series ever. They beat the Astros in a sweep, and who knows, the Astros were probably stealing signs, or they learned after the White Sox that they should probably start stealing signs. It was the most dominant World Series performance in modern baseball history. Clean sweep. Game 3 went to 17 innings, which was amazing. Game 4, they won 1-0. Game 2, they won in a walk-off home run with Scott Pods Pasednik going to center right field. As a young sports fan, for those of you that have watched a team in your local city make a championship run, that had such a profound impact on my childhood. Just, you can believe in something, it can be accomplished, it can be achieved. And the whole city was cheering for the White Sox, even the Chicago Cubs. And then the Cubs, of course, won in 2016, which proved to me there is, in fact, something divine and there is a God. If the Chicago Cubs can win the World Series and Donald Trump can win the presidential election all within 5 days of each other, that's a very fun story to tell at a different time of where I saw it happen. I flew back special and I saw the Chicago Cubs win the World Series with my, I think, either 94 or 95-year-old grandma at the time, who had not missed the Chicago Cubs baseball game since 1951. Literally had not missed a game. And the entire game, going into the 10th inning, 8th inning, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it. She said it the whole game. We're going to blow the lead. We're going to lose. Because as Chicago Cubs fans, you are trained in the practice of masochism. You just learn to love to lose. In fact, you relish in it. Maybe next year. You just say it just compulsively. When the Chicago Cubs actually won in the only 10th inning World Series Game 7 game ever in baseball history in Cleveland, it was so poetic. It was so amazing. Do I know if baseball's going to come back? I don't know. They're floating out ideas that the whole season, actually, it's part of the season, might be primarily played in Arizona because they have so many stadiums here. Being quarantined in Arizona, I support this proposal completely and totally. And I would love to be one of the few fans they might actually let in. I love baseball. What I love most about baseball, I like playoff baseball the most. Summer baseball at times. I'll watch any sport right now, by the way. Anything, as long as it's not fake wrestling. If you like fake wrestling, I'm not here to offend you, but just does not exactly get me interested. I'm so sports deprived right now. I'm so sick and tired of watching ESPN Classics of the Chicago Bulls winning 6 NBA Finals, okay? I keep on going to ESPN Classic. I'm like, how many times do I have to watch John Gruden win the Super Bowl, okay? And if you don't remember, John Gruden did win, I think it was the 2001 Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before he went. Actually, and they beat the Oakland Raiders, which was hilarious, and now he's the coach of the soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, but they can't even move to Las Vegas because of the Chinese coronavirus. So I'm sick and tired of watching ESPN Classics of Cam Newton beat the Oregon Ducks in the BCS National Championship game, all of which they just keep on having on repeat. Pretty impressive, the team at ESPN. By the way, the ESPN Instagram feed, they're just grasping at straws now. They are posting the weirdest stuff. They're like, who is your favorite fictitious coach from some sports Hollywood film? Like, you guys have got to just post better content than this. Just if anyone out there knows anyone that runs ESPN's social channels, you guys have got to get a little bit better. I guess the NFL draft is coming up that they're going to do all virtually, which is sort of sports, I guess. But can we just get back to some form of competition where there is a winner? Please, we need sports back. So yeah, I would love to go to a game, but I love baseball for this reason. Boy, that was a very interesting meandering tangent. But going back to why I love baseball because it does require a level of above-average athleticism. However, baseball is not exclusively about the athleticism you're born with. It's people that are 5'11", 5'10", 6'1", 6'2", hand-eye coordination, very specific skill set, how hard you work at it, the time you put in. Basketball is like that as well, but if you're 6'10", if you're 6'11", you obviously have a better chance of making the National Basketball Association. Same with NFL, and you're a right tackle and you're 6'11" and you're 340 pounds. Like, okay, you're definitely have a better chance of being a left tackle. By the way, if anyone's 6'11", is anyone 6'11" in the NFL? I think the tallest football player is like 6'7", 6'8". I think there was a 6'9" guy out there at some point. Again, I'm so sports deprived. It's getting, I believe America would be happier if we had some form of sports on. Don't get me started that we had a year without March Madness. This was so unspeakable what the Chinese did to us to steal March Madness from us. They will pay for this. All right, next question.
All right, Charlie, what has been the biggest lesson for you from quarantine? And that is Alexandra from Syracuse.
The biggest lesson, I guess, and it's really surrender what you can't control. I mean, for the first time in my kind of Turning Point USA career, I've been grounded for a long time, which is not something I'm used to. I'm used to getting on a plane and going where I need to go or go where I want to go whenever I want. It's a good lesson for life because now for the first time, there's more I can't control than I can control. And so then I've gotten really good at things I can control, spending more time on the podcast, doing more podcasts per week, spending time signing books. And if you guys want to get a free book, first five people to email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I'll send you off a book, freedom@charliekirk.com. But you got to email us with the code John Gruden, and then I will send you a free book, freedom@charliekirk.com. So just spending more time in things I can control. You know, I'm looking at these things people are sending me. Oh, I'm on the quarantine diet, and I'm gaining all this weight. I'm like, why? I mean, you're just basically admitting to the world you have no discipline, you have no self-control, and that you are allowing extenuating circumstances to control you. there's still so much that you can control. Okay, you can't travel. You might not be able to go to work. You can still do push-ups. You can do still do sit-ups. You can still mostly control what you eat. You can, are essentially, if you're relishing in your own physical, mental, spiritual decline, then you are signaling to the entire world, I am not a sovereign, self-directed human being. I am nothing more than an automaton that is part of a broader society that tells me what to do when I can do it. That's called a loser, okay? So stop bragging about how, I'm gaining all this weight during quarantine. Like, okay, great. Am I supposed to feel sorry for you? Are you supposed to have people have sympathy for your own victimhood? Now is the perfect time to rededicate yourself to be better today than ever before at something. Whether it's writing a book or studying a foreign language. I mean, those are the cliche ones that people use. But there might be something that you're so passionate about. Now is the time to do that. And by the way, I never want to see another video, another tweet, another person ever complain about sleeping in. You guys have gotten enough sleeping in days for a decade, okay? And I said this in a previous podcast. I encourage you guys to check it out and download it. What I've loved most about this quarantine, though, is how people actually do want to go back to work, is people do want to actually get back into the marketplace, and they're complaining about being sedentary. Again, you don't have to be sedentary just because you have to be in one place. That's a decision that you essentially surrender your own autonomy to whatever circumstance is built around you. Liberate yourself out of that groupthink. Being in Arizona, I've done beautiful hiking trails, biking 15 miles a day. It's great. You guys can do that too. Well, you might say, well, Charlie, I'm not allowed to leave the house. Then fine. Set the world push-up record and get back to me about what you can't do. Seriously. I mean, unless you're literally suffering with a Chinese coronavirus, of which my thoughts and prayers come out to you, you're excluded from this portion of the conversation. A majority of you listening to this can be a better human being, better refined, better educated, more prepared for excellence after the quarantine than before. But if you're sloppier and lose an edge because of this, then you will have missed a great opportunity to improve your life, improve your vision, your dreams, and the trajectory that you're on. It's your choice. You are a human being created in God's image, and you can do whatever you want with your life. You have free will. That's a different theological conversation for a different time. I actually do believe in free will. We can have a Calvinist on here at some point and discuss that. In fact, I know a great Calvinist. He's the dean of the business school at Liberty University, a great friend, former Congressman Dave Brat. He's phenomenal. I don't subscribe to the Calvinist school of theology. I was raised Presbyterian, but that's a different conversation for a completely different time. You can make your decisions. Do it. And I don't want to hear any more complaining. So that's the biggest lesson that I learned from this, is the importance of being self-directed, self-disciplined, organized, and clear thinking. I highly recommend everyone else takes that kind of lesson from me and apply it to your life, because there's a chance this quarantine might go on for another couple months. We don't know when it's going to end. You be the master of your own destiny. Next question.
Charlie, do you agree with the praise people are throwing on these Democrat governors like Andrew Cuomo and Gavin Newsom? Patrick from Wichita.
No, I don't. And I know the president of the United States has to do that because he is a president of all Americans, but I don't have to do that. I'm not the president. I'm not elected to represent the entire country. I'm here to tell you the truth. And to tell you the truth, Gavin Newsom is a post-birth abortion advocate, transgender agenda sympathist, anti-Christian, anti-gun, anti-constitution, pro-marijuana, pro-teacher union, anti-family, anti-homeschooling, open borders, illegal immigrant sympathist. Is this all of a sudden a good thing because he says a couple things about Donald Trump? No, it doesn't change any of that. And so, okay, so he's doing a nice job at flattening the curve in California. Meanwhile, my dear friend, Pastor Rob McCoy, was threatened with arrest for having a socially distanced communion ceremony, no different than going to Costco, Lowe's, or a convenience store. While marijuana shops are wide open and liquor stores are wide open, suicide is on the way up, drug use is on the way up, but we can't allow people to go into the house of the Lord, and they're being threatened with arrest. I get the whole thing. I actually don't agree with what some of these pastors are doing in Louisiana, where they're still gathering exactly as they were, and they're all hugging each other and all that. I don't think that is using the wisdom that we are taught in the Bible to have restraint and to have awareness, especially in the book of Proverbs, written by Solomon. He asked for one. God asked him, if you want one thing, wisdom. I don't think that's being wise. But what I think what Rob McCoy did, for those that don't know, pastor at Godspeak Calvary Chapel, Thousand Oaks, amazing pastor. We're actually going to have him on the podcast to discuss this at some point. We got a stacked roster this week, so make sure you guys are subscribed. we're going to have him on a future episode where he talks about this, where he said, as Bible-believing Christians, especially on Palm Sunday, Holy Week, I will not deprive my congregation of communion. So we're not going to have more than 10 people in a room, as per CDC guidelines. We're going to line people up 8 feet away instead of 6 feet away, all the way around the block, no different than they're going to a Costco, Lowe's, or a convenience store, or a marijuana shop, or a gun shop, or a liquor store. Well, a gun shop, not really, because they're closing them down in California. And we're going to administer people communion while wearing masks, eye protection, and gloves so that people can take and participate in the Eucharist, despite them not even being a Catholic church. They still believed in the power of communion for Christians in the Holy Week. What happened? Police officers showed up and threatened them with arrest, gave them solicitations and fines, every single person that went into the church, got in a huge legal fight with the county and the state, and Rob McCoy was forced to resign from city council because of this. How is that any different than going to a liquor store or a weed shop? Why is it that we can socially distance and get marijuana, but we can't socially distance and get the bread of life that Jesus Christ commanded us to do this in remembrance to him? Now, I don't believe theologically in transubstantiation like the Catholics do, but I do believe in the importance of taking communion. And Rob is spot on here. And the persecution that he has received and the silence from the Christian community in lack of defense from him has been very telling to me. It goes to show that many pastors are perfectly fine with overseeing a status quo, a declined culture. And again, I'm not advocating for having mass gatherings in churches right now and people doing things exactly the way that they were. As a Christian, you must look at the church as beyond just the four walls, but not exclusive to just saying that the church and the body of ecclesia does not matter. I think Rob came up with a perfect, moderated, and rational middle ground here while abiding by the rules of our leaders, as it tells us to do in 1 Timothy, and as Jesus commanded us all throughout the four Gospels. And yet Christians across the country condemned Rob McCoy. They condemned him for doing this, and he was forced to have a huge price and pay a big price for it. So I, for one, stand by pastors that have courage, conviction, and creativity, all while trying to honor the kingdom. And so to go back to the question about Cuomo and Newsom, I went on a little bit of a tangent there because it goes under Newsom. Newsom and his enforcement squad in Sacramento is now going after Pastor Rob McCoy. We're supposed to all of a sudden be these big Cuomo fans. I'm not going to go into this right now, but a future episode of the Charlie Kirk Show, we will, if Cuomo actually gets seriously floated out to be a replacement for the confused, the clueless, and the corrupt Joe Biden, who doesn't even know what state he's in, doesn't know what office he's running for, doesn't know the president he served with, and doesn't know the country that he sold us out to so his son can get very rich. Probably doesn't even know how many grandchildren he has. He has 7, by the way. Fact check that. But I believe it's 7 because Hunter is now the proud father of another child in Arkansas. I wish that family well. If Cuomo actually gets seriously floated out to be a Democrat nominee, we're going to go deep into the very suspicious activities of Mario Cuomo when he was involved in the worst aspects of New York politics going back many, many decades. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But for those of you that know New York politics, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Cuomo is anti-gun, he's anti-constitution, and he signed the most ridiculous, radical, anti-life abortion bill in the entire country. Andrew Cuomo also said probably the dumbest thing that I've heard a politician say in recent memory. Something that sounds good, it probably feels good, it's foolish, and it has no wisdom at all whatsoever. Andrew Cuomo said this: if what I'm doing saves just one life, it is worth it. That sounds good, right? Probably feels good, but it is stupid. It's like saying we should just get rid of all driving because if that saves just one life, it is worth it. Restricting all freedom and liberty under the excuse of saving a life is lacking any sort of wisdom at all of a balanced and free society. So, for example, we don't have 30-mile-an-hour speed limits because we've come to a barter of a society that maybe 120-mile speed limits are unsafe, but 70 on the highway is perfectly fine, and people can, they can go 70 miles an hour, but we know people are going to die if they do. 58,000 more or less, 50,000 people die through automobile accidents every single year. People die on the road, yet we allow automobile commercials. Hundreds of thousands of people work in the auto industry. People rely on cars to also go to church, go to hospitals, and serve family and friends. We allow it because we know that freedom and liberty outweighs the potential death toll of what happens. So no, Andrew Cuomo, if what you do saves just one life, is not worth it. Shutting down the entire New York economy if it saves one life, and it also might have 10,000 suicides on the other side, is a foolish thing to say. And you are preying on people's naivete to not dive deeper into that statement. So no, we should not be fawning over these Marxist anti-American governors that have done nothing but try to obstruct, sue, oppose Donald Trump at every single turn, keep our borders wide open, allow illegals to run rampant, that have more sanctuary cities than any other place in the entire country, then all of a sudden I have to listen how Gavin Newsom is this wonderful leader. He was mayor of San Francisco, and he was an awful mayor of San Francisco. San Francisco is the most failed leftist Marxist social experiment in the entire country, and now he's trying to do that to all of California. Whether it be J.B. Pritzker, Cuomo, Newsom, I don't have to be magnanimous. The president does. I want him to continue to be magnanimous and not dive into the criticism I'm doing right now. I'm going to tell you the truth. These guys do not want what's best for America. They are not doing what's best for the people of our country and a lot of times the people of their state. And if they were doing what's best for the people of their state, they would not support the continuation of the most radical anti-life pro-abortion measures in the entire country. Boy, do I hope we get to run up against Andrew Cuomo, because there's a lot there. And we will do a deep dive on his family ties at some point. And for those of you from New York, know exactly what I mean. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Next question.
Charlie, I am personally mixed on China. On the one hand, I see your point about closing us off to them, but on the other, doesn't that contradict the idea of trying to spread our values through trade? Also, what do you suggest we do with the president's new trade deal with China? And that's Rick from Irvine.
So that is a terrific question. And before I answer it, I want to talk about Simply Safe home security. With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home has never been more important. It's why I want to talk to you about Simply Safe home security. All the property I care about has Simply Safe home security. They're longtime friends of our show here on the Charlie Kirk Show, and they do terrific work. I've used their product. I've set it up. It's easy to use. You don't need to pay any outrageous monthly fees or sign a two-year contract. Do you know that break-ins in New York City for businesses are up 75% according to the Wall Street Journal? There's no technician or salesperson that needs to come and disrupt your house. You don't have someone come in and maybe do something suspicious. You are in control and it works. You just order online. You set up yourself in under an hour. I'm a huge advocate of Simply Safe Home Security because I believe in private property and I believe in families being protected, and Simply Safe Home Security helps you do it. All just for 50 cents a day. So what are you waiting for? You probably spend more on macchiatos and lattes than Simply Safe Home Security. If you have a piece of property that is not secure, you can fix it right now by going to simplysafe.com/Charlie and get free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. No one needs to come into your house. No one needs to install it. If you're worried, because guess what? Break-ins are up right now. Break-ins are up. Just because people don't go to work doesn't mean that criminals stop killing people and stop breaking into people's houses. So do something about it. Go to simplysafe.com/Charlie. I'm wishing you a safety and good health. Simply Safe can keep you safe during these uncertain times, so do it. SimplySafe.com/Charlie. Look, I understand if people are mixed about China. I'm not mixed, so I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. I spent more time writing. I was on this big group email, and I saw this individual. I'm not going to name any names or what group email it was, but I spent more time responding to this ridiculous email where this person said, well, I've spent time in China, and I could tell you the CCP is not all that bad, and they need us as much as we need them. This is complete and total rubbish. It's nonsense. It sounds like someone who has manufacturing facilities in China and doesn't want to deal with the fallout, the backlash. China wants us dead. China has no concern for the innocence of the West. If they did, they would have told us about the Chinese coronavirus early. They would have done everything they possibly could to prevent the spread of it. And they could have allowed real health officials into Wuhan to try to develop treatments and get the entire world educated on the infectiousness and the truth of this from the very, very beginning. Do you know China has 1 million Muslims in concentration camps? Do you think for a second, if any other country had 1 million Muslims in concentration camps, we would still be trading with them? I went into great detail in a previous episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. I would like you guys to go back and listen to it. I think it was two or three back, and I think it was one of the former Ask Me Anythings. So please go back and listen to it. And for those of you that are sending your questions, it's freedom@charliekirk.com that we're reading from. freedom@charliekirk.com. There's no middle ground with them. Some people say, well, they're modern day this and modern day that. I think some of those comparisons are true. And I'm not going to use one that is being floated around right now because I think that it either dismisses people or it might be too heated. Let's just use the example of Mussolini's Italy. I don't think we talk about that enough. In the 1920s, all throughout the country, from the Kansas City Star to the Dallas Observer, there were laudatory news articles talking about the rise of fascism in Benito Mussolini's Italy while he was locking people up in concentration camps. Mussolini was loved by the West until it was actually realized that he was a fascist, evil dictator that killed his own citizens, that aligned with the most evil power of the 20th century. Well, China is now that most evil power. Iran is evil. Russia is evil, but Russia doesn't keep me up at night. Russia has 1/10 of the Chinese population. Russia has a aging citizenry. Russia has a depleted economy because of petrol prices. Is Russia our friend? No, but they're more of an annoyance. China is the massive threat and the enemy. They're building islands in the South China Sea. They're building up ports of entry in Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and buying up mineral rights for very valuable minerals all across the world. And we keep trading with them, and we keep dealing with them. People say, well, Charlie, don't we want them to buy our goods? Well, look, they buy a couple $100 billion worth of goods, so here's how you fix it. You go after China, and you say, hey, thanks for playing. You owe us and the entire world a couple $1 trillion for what you just did to us with this virus. You got a whole global coalition around it, and you say, failure to pay up, within a month, we fully end all trade with you completely and totally. Then the United States government can help subsidize the redomiciling of American manufacturing back to our country where it actually belongs versus the deindustrialization that has happened of middle America. And then you go through the global community one by one, and if they don't cut off China the same way, you sanction them. When will we start to realize the world needs us a lot more than we need them? And I'm not the type where we think we should just wall ourselves off. I've traveled the world, okay? I've been from the Middle East. I've been throughout Europe. So I'm not against interfacing with people of other cultures. But when are we going to realize that people need us? They need America. And it's about time we start to go after the malevolent forces that have now killed more people than died on Pearl Harbor. Killed 3 times as many people as of the recording of this podcast. And it's going up by the hour. It's going up by the minute than on 9/11. Are they supposed to just get a hall pass for that? Xi Jinping and the tyrant thugs of the Chinese Communist Party need to be held accountable the same way that we held Joseph Stalin accountable. The same way that we held Benito Mussolini accountable. And so, the other part of your question, Rick from Irvine, this was submitted through freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. Spread our values through trade was part of your question. We've been trading with them since Nixon opened up China in the 70s. And guess what? They hate America more than ever before. The more we've traded with them, the more anti-Western they've become. They just use trade as an ATM transfer to fund their anti-Western global ambitions called the Belt and Road Initiative to make the CCP the dominant governing force throughout the world. You're hearing it here first on the Charlie Kirk Show. This will be the litmus test of whether or not people love America or they love to say they like America, but they really like their bottom line more. I would rather be right than rich. I know that this is going to hurt me personally and financially. I know people are no longer going to want to be associated with the orbit that we're in. And I think some of that is true. And I think we're also going to gain a lot of support from people that really want to see patriots take a stand. But if you're still manufacturing in China after this, why? And I had a conversation with someone. They said, well, it's the bottom line. It's $1, it's $1.50 over there. It's $24 in America. I didn't say you couldn't make it in Laos, Vietnam, or Cambodia, Philippines, or Malaysia. I prefer that not to be the case. I'd prefer you to come to America because I only buy things that are made in America. And I'll make a small carve-out exception for Lululemon because they make stuff in Canada because their products are just that good. But explain to me why you would have to stay in China. Because Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Malaysia, and the Philippines, they're within a couple cent margins of China. So maybe is it that the CCP is subsidizing your manufacturing? Or maybe is it you're also getting some cash on the side? I don't understand what it is. And my tolerance is zero now for that. Again, you could do, as a business owner, I'll be perfectly acceptable if you say, I was in China, I'm done, I'm closing, I'm going to move some back to the U.S., but it's still the price, it's too expensive for the United States, so I'm going to diversify a little bit to the United States. I'm going to domicile in India. I'm going to domicile in Malaysia. I don't love that. I'm not going to endorse it and give it a sign, seal, and deliver great job, but you're no longer the focus of my attention anymore. Because at least you've done the courageous step of getting out of the sinister, malevolent empire that wants every single person to listen to the show, unless you somehow semi-routed this show and you're listening to it, to the Chinese Communist Party headquarters in Beijing or Shanghai, dead. By the way, for the CCP, I know you listen to this show. I know you do. I hope you're listening, because I'm going to do everything I possibly can to make sure our country rises up against you. I'm going to do everything we possibly can to make sure the citizens of our country realize the malevolent, anti-Western, anti-American, anti-freedom, anti-liberty values that you have. And I don't care what it costs. This is the fight of our generation. My grandfather served in World War II to go fight the evil Japanese Empire. My descendants before that fought in the Civil War on the Union side. My descendants before that fought in the Revolutionary War. I'm not even being asked to fight in a war. I'm being asked to criticize an evil empire that has a million Muslims in concentration camps that's deindustrialized our country. That's not even courageous. You know what courageous is? It's getting off the boat on Normandy Beach knowing you're probably going to get your head cut off by a German machine gun, but you do it to try to create a buffer so that you can eventually take the beach. But I'll tell you what cowardly is. Cowardly is having a manufacturing plant of any sort and doing business with the maniacs that want us dead. The World War II generation that I talk with and the ones that are no longer with us, I know, are beyond disappointed at how our country has turned the back on what's best for our nation and instead what's best for some alleged maximization of a merger acquisition profit out there. Time to put your country above the bottom line. And guess what? The American consumer will reward you. Made in America is going to be the most attractive thing that you can advertise right now. And for people that make stuff in America like WeatherTech, like MyPillow, go reward them. Reward people that make stuff in this country. Not go enrich the tyrants overseas. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And I have to say, I want to reference our interview with Senator Rick Scott. I'm not alone here. Senator Scott, who, to my surprise, said on the Charlie Kirk Show, we should stop all trade and all purchases from China. A position that we have long been supporting here on the Charlie Kirk Show, and this virus has only strengthened our argument and has only proven us to be correct. You can go back all the way in the archives of the Charlie Kirk Show. You can go back to old op-eds that I've written and the criticism I got from the ruling class in this country for how dare I criticize China. Senator Rick Scott says we have to stop buying stuff from China. More and more senators are saying the same. For every single person on this podcast, do not support a politician unless they're willing to say the same. Now, the president's in a completely different boat right now. He has to figure out a way to have a path forward of American businesses that are currently in China and give them a path out to re-domicile to safe and stable markets. But the president has been vindicated here. He has called the Chinese what they were for a very long time. He has said they've been ripping us off and laughing at us. He was the original Chinese skeptic. He was the original person that had the courage of his convictions to stand up against the CCP tyrants. Thanks for the question. I think it's pretty clear where I stand on China. Next question.
Charlie, if Trump manages to get reelected in November and the Republicans manage to take back the House while also retaining the Senate, what should be at the forefront of the second term agenda? What are your thoughts on the odds Roe v. Wade gets overturned? And that's Jacob from Vermont.
No, Roe versus Wade, unfortunately, will probably not get overturned because we do not have politicians that have the courage of their convictions. You will learn that most Republicans speak a good line when it comes to pro-life just to make sure they're not attacked by those of us that stand for life. But as soon as there's an actual opportunity to do something about it, they get very nervous about the calls they get about constituencies they think they're going to lose when in reality, their constituency will only grow if they actually fight for the unborn. Now they'll be rewarded by people of faith all across the country. So no, I don't think that Roe versus Wade will get overturned. But here's what the agenda has to be. We got to get back near a balanced budget. Our debt is going to be the death of our country. I know the president is doing whatever he can right now to keep our country afloat. I'm in support of his efforts, but I'm a deficit hawk. I'm a debt hawk. I always have been. It's why I got in this fight originally. I will never stop advocating for fiscal sanity and balanced budgets. Spending today, borrowing today is inflation tomorrow, which means taxation the next day, which means socialism the day after that, and the decline of our country. We got to get back to a balanced budget. Penny plan. Balanced budget amendment. Paying people bonuses to find waste, fraud, and abuse within our government. Putting every single dime of federal spending online in real time. Go to openthebooks.com. They do a great job of exposing the waste in the federal budget, state budget, and county budget. They do a phenomenal job of this. We have to be the ones that also advocate for campaign finance reform. Shout out to Congressman Matt Gaetz, who said he'll no longer take any money from PACs. Good. Political action committees are destroying the fabric of American elections. I'm not going to say American democracy because we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic that has democratic means of electing our leaders. But I would love to see the Republicans get on the right side of campaign finance reform. Term limits. Why is it that someone can lobby for a foreign government and also contribute to political campaigns? Is it no different than the foreign government actually contributing directly to that politician? Legalized bribery from foreign countries should not be allowed in the American political process. I thought we had a whole Mueller investigation and Ukrainian impeachment probe about not doing special favors and not using foreign interests to your own advantage. I'd love to have the second term agenda also be solidifying and strengthening the deregulation tax cut agenda. Middle income workers really do need a tax cut right now. They do. And the other thing is this. I want to see the cartel of the colleges be truly challenged. It's time for students to no longer get the short end of the stick. We need to give them results. If Republicans are wondering why students don't vote for them, oh, well, why are students so liberal? Well, what have you done for them? I mean, especially after this last stimulus bill, what am I supposed to go to a college student and say? Yeah, go vote Republican so they can go borrow $4 trillion this year. Both parties did that, 96 to nothing, by the way. Yeah, go vote Republican so they can give corporate crony bailouts to the biggest companies that have billions of dollars of cash and can go borrow money. Yeah, go vote Republican so they get $75 million NPR and PBS. Yeah, go vote Republican so they can give $350 million to migrant resettlement. That's why I love Donald Trump, is that he's against all that conventional congressional status quo. And I'm sure some of you say, well, Charlie, didn't Trump sign that bill? He had no choice. And he doesn't like the crap in it. He's a wartime president. He had to sacrifice what frustrates him, be magnanimous, and keep the country solely focused on defeating the virus. Congress is a deliberative body. The presidency is an executive body. Big difference. When you have the deliberative process, you're supposed to get rid of the crap and get rid of the garbage from it. Donald Trump did not submit a proposal to Congress that had $75 million going to the anti-Trump networks of NPR and public broadcasting. Nonsense. And so I want to see the Republican Party be back to one that I'm proud of talking about on college campuses. That says, you know what? No, we're the party of fiscal sanity. Of course, I'm not saying that the right and left are the same culturally. I'm not saying that the left or right are the same on social issues. But when it comes to fiscal issues, my goodness. When you vote 96-0 for the biggest bill in American history to spend a couple trillion bucks, you just made my job selling that to a 16-year-old a lot harder. And I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to pretend like that was a good thing. You're bankrupting our generation. For what? For what? To go screw up the American unemployment system, which is what you did. To give $350 million to migrant resettlement. Well, let me know what that means. So illegals can get $350 million. How about you go give $350 million to families that can't go pay tuition right now? Students are getting screwed by the ruling class. And that free money, by the way. Oh yeah, everyone's going to get free money. You know college students are exempt from that because they didn't file tax returns. You don't get that money if you hadn't filed a tax return. And like less than 5% of college kids had actually filed tax returns because most of the jobs that they work don't require it or they don't file the tax returns because their income levels are so low. So I want the Republican Party to get back to our principles. How about we truly strengthen our border and we start to deport the foreign nationals that are illegally domiciled into our country? And we should not have any more visas in our country. By the way, politician, you want to win the youth vote? Any politician out there, Republican or Democrat, you got 5 million kids that are scheduled to graduate with no ceremony in the next 3 to 4 weeks. They're going to be entering the worst job market in American history. You want to win the youth vote? Suspend all visas. That's right. Every single visa till every single one of those college kids can get a job. Foreign nationals should not be getting the jobs that our college kids went into debt to go get. Every single one of those kids should be given preference and precedence over some foreign national that might be able to take advantage of our visa process. And that's why I called for a total and complete moratorium on all visas till we get to pre-pandemic unemployment levels. And even after that, we should pass the RAISE Act by Senator Tom Cotton, which cuts our visas dramatically. You want to win the youth vote? How about you actually start representing their interest and not spending trillions of dollars we don't have? That will be the taxation of tomorrow, will be the inflation of tomorrow, and get our entire generation into endless levels of debt. You want to win the youth vote? How about you actually represent the 24 million Americans out there that are in college right now, suffering under the cost of college, that are not getting refunds from their colleges at all? How do we win the youth vote? Start representing their interest 1/100th as much as you represent the interests of American Airlines. We don't have lobbyists to represent us. I'm doing the best we can. Yet there's a ruling class in this country that doesn't care about our generation, and it's indefensible. Besides that, everything's great. With currently no basketball, hockey, or Major League Baseball, my goodness, if I have to watch ESPN Classics one more time, it's so depressing. You might think there's nothing to bet on, but you're wrong. Our friends at BetOnline, great service, has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on. Or let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack. They're all open 24 hours a day and all online. The BetOnline Casino never closes. If you're into props and entertainment and betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. That's right, you can bet on the weather. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive a welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Again, visit our good friends and exclusive partner of Podcast One, betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code, PODCAST1, for your 100% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
In the past, free trade made other countries freer and more open, more Western. But as you've said before on the show, it has had the opposite effect in China, seemingly. They seem more ambitious, more tyrannical. Why do you think that is? What specifically about Chinese culture is at play? And that's Joey from Spokane.
The reason the more we trade with China, the more tyrannical they become, which I mentioned in a previous question. And again, we're reading questions from freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com that you guys have emailed us. They become more tyrannical because they don't have the fundamental philosophical or theological foundation for liberty to spread. Without getting too far into Protestantism versus Catholicism, let's just start with whether or not you believe in God. If you do not believe in God, you by definition do not believe in liberty. I know that's a really controversial statement, and there's a lot of atheists out there that believe in liberty, and I've invited some of them on my show, and I believe they're fair and decent people, and I believe there can be good atheists, but I don't believe there can be good atheism. Big difference. Huge difference. The ideology itself is not an excuse for individual atheists that might be good. It's not. Just like there are really bad Christians, like awful Christians. But there's no bad Christianity. Big difference. So, in China, they are the world's largest atheist country in the history of the world, where Christianity is so under attack, where 1 million Muslims are in concentration camps. The Chinese people have never understood the concept of God. And if you don't believe in God, then you don't believe in God-given rights. If you believe your rights are natural upon creation, well, there must have been a creation. And that creation is God. If you believe everything is an accident, like the atheists do, or an act of randomness, then those rights don't actually exist. They're just administered by the state. That's why there's no seeds of liberty like there was in America when we had Protestant-based colonies all throughout the Eastern Seaboard that led to the American Revolution, inspired by John Locke, but originally inspired by the teaching of Jesus Christ in the greatest book ever to exist in the history of the world, the Bible. In China, they don't have those sorts of foundational ideas or values built into their society. Freedom? What do you mean freedom? We can't speak freely. They have no concept of that. So the more money you give tyrants, the more tyrannical they're going to become. This was so foolish for the West to believe that somehow the more that we traded with China, they were going to stop with their power campaign over their people, and they were going to turn around and be advocating for Lockean natural rights. Of course that's not happening. The exact opposite is happening. The more that we've traded with them, the wealthier they've become, the more they have been determined on their diabolical campaign of destruction of America. Until we allow religion, religious liberty, and the belief of God to spread like wildfire in China, and there is an underground church movement in China, but they are deeply persecuted, and is not talked about enough on the world stage, where Christians are not allowed to talk publicly about the Bible, where the church has to meet privately, where there are countless Christian dissidents that have been stamped out by the Chinese Communist Party for dare speaking about God. If you want to create a country that embraces freedom, first you need people that even believe in freedom itself. And where does that come from? A belief in a higher power. Show me an atheist country that also believes in freedom. And if you show me that country, wait 20 or 30 years, because over time, they will eventually embrace tyranny. It takes a people that believes in freedom theologically, spiritually, and religiously to stop government from intruding on their lives, because they know the gift they've been given of natural rights. They have a gratitude and understanding of that gift, and they'll do anything to make sure that gift is passed on to future generations. What a great show, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. This was brought to you by the questions that were emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And you guys, make sure you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. We can beat Joe Biden. We keep on going up. We go down. Joe Biden goes up. We go down. You guys can beat Joe Biden in the podcast charts. You know Joe Biden is a podcast? Don't listen to it. It's pretty much garbage. But if you do, listen to our podcast too. And make sure you hit subscribe. So type in The Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider and hit that subscribe button. Again, it's Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. We are growing by leaps and bounds in the middle of this Chinese coronavirus. We are starting chapters. We are growing to new campuses. We are planning for future events. And if you can, please chip in some money at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless you. God bless America. Again, email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com, and say subscribe. Stay subscribed. Great shows coming up. We got Crenshaw, Glenn Beck, and then I got a special Easter episode you guys are not going to want to miss. Thanks so much. From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories come the next great true crime podcast, I Survived. Every week, I Survived presents chilling first-person accounts from people who overcame deadly situations, allowing the survivors to describe the events as they unfolded and how they made it out alive. If you love true crime, you are going to love I Survived. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.